is rising and the rain begin to pour.
That's right, a storm is coming our way and bringing quite a bit of weather with it. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe, and with me is our weather expert, Cliff Mass from the University of Washington. This week marked the one-year anniversary of Superstorm Sandy, and in a moment we're going to talk about some of the very important lessons learned from that devastating event. But first, Cliff, let's hear about the week ahead.
Well, today's the calm before the storm. There's a lot of clouds around, but temperatures will get up into the mid-50s, not much rain at all, so really decent day. But things change tomorrow. The first significant winter storm will strike the Northwest tomorrow. And what we're talking about is everywhere from wind, fairly heavy precipitation in the mountains, and snow, quite a bit of snow in the mountains. So let me unravel this. A low center is approaching the coast, and it will go north of us, somewhere in southern Vancouver Island, and then move into British Columbia. That will cause the winds to really pick up first on the coast, and then in the northwest interior, from Whidbey Island up to the San Juans. And the winds could increase late tonight and tomorrow morning in those locations to 30 to 60 miles per hour. Then the low is going to go by. And as it goes by, there's going to be a surge of winds in the Strait of Juan de Fuca. So westerly winds are going to punch through the strait. And we're talking about the potential for wind gusts of 50 to 70 miles per hour. Particularly vulnerable is the eastern Strait of Juan de Fuca, like northern Whidbey Island. So I would not be surprised if there were a few power outages with that. And also, as the system goes by, the winds will get very strong on the coast. 40, 50 miles per hour are quite possible. Now, we're going to get rain with this system here over the lowlands. But over the mountains, the interesting thing is, as the low goes by, the temperatures will be cold enough that there will be snow. And the computer models are now indicating that the passes, even Snoqualmie, Stevens, could get on the order of 6 to 8 inches of snow. And as you go higher in the elevations, you could get maybe a foot to foot and a half. So this will be the first significant snowfall in the Cascades so far this season. So it's sort of the end of the hiking season and the beginning of thinking about skiing. That starts tomorrow.
All right. And when does this big storm event kind of mellow out?
It moves through Saturday, and Sunday is going to be, as you say, a mellow day. There'll be on and off showers here in the lowlands, some snow showers on and off in the mountains. Temperatures will be noticeably cooler. The highs on Sunday will only get up to the order of upper 40s, maybe 50, so a definite cool down. And then next week, we're in this pattern of no huge storms, but a series of weak disturbances will be coming through, so clouds and showers next week.
So a dramatic storm, but nothing like Hurricane Sandy, which we want to talk about today and learn some lessons from. It caused more than $60 billion of damage to the greater New York City area, the loss of over 100 lives. And as you discuss in your blog this week, Cliff, it also revealed some serious weaknesses in the U.S. weather prediction system.
That's right. In one sense, it was a great triumph for numerical weather prediction because the numerical weather prediction systems of the European Center were able to call for this storm accurately 7 to 9 days ahead of time. But the U.S. weather prediction system didn't catch on until about 4 or 5 days, and it was an illustration of something that meteorologists have known for a long time, that the U.S. global weather prediction model is inferior to the European Center model. And now it became something known generally. It even was on the NBC Nightly News. So this was an Achilles heel that people didn't know about. Now, one good thing about this is that there was such a hue and cry about the inferiority of the U.S. model for this and other occasions that the National Weather Service has secured $25 million from the Hurricane Sandy supplement to get a new computer, which we'll have next year.
Now, there was also a major communication snafu. The storm was downgraded and the hurricane warnings dropped. How did that happen?
That was a big confusion. I mean, Sandy was a huge, very powerful storm, but it changed from a tropical storm to a mid-latitude storm in structure right before it hit the coast. And so what the Weather Service did, it changed the name of it from a hurricane to a mid-latitude storm as it came in, or a post-tropical storm. And this was terribly confusing. All of a sudden, the hurricane watches and warnings were dropped. And people didn't know what a post-tropical storm was. And a number of groups and municipalities dropped their guard. So it was a real problem. And that's going to be changed in the future, too. From now on, if something's a hurricane, right before it's going to hit the coast, and if it's going to keep the same winds you'd expect with a hurricane, they're going to keep the name up as it makes landfall. And the National Hurricane Center will retain responsibility for forecasting it.
And a third lesson, you say we don't need to worry that storms like Sandy will become more frequent because of global warming?
There were a number of claims after the storm that this was a harbinger of things to come, that global warming will increase these kind of storms. Well, it turns out that the latest research indicates that's not true. Some work at Colorado State looking at climate models found that under global warming, the tendency for storms to move in towards the coast, like Sandy did, it would become much less frequent. Another finding is that weaker hurricanes will become less frequent under global warming, but the strongest hurricanes will become more frequent. Well, Sandy actually was a Category 1 or 2 storm. It was a weaker storm, so we would not expect these kind of storms to become more frequent under global warming. So the bottom line is that under global warming, there's no reason to expect that a Superstorm Sandy type event will become more probable.
But it is accurate to say that weather could be more extreme, right?
Well, it all depends on what kind of extreme weather we're talking about. The weaker hurricanes will become less probable. Certain wind storms on the West Coast and heavy rain events south of Washington State may become less probable. It all depends where you are. Some places will have more extreme weather, but some places will actually have less extreme weather under global warming. And that's what we have to tease out in the next few years.
Thanks, Cliff.
Sure.
He teaches atmospheric sciences at the University of Washington. And if you want to meet him, he's giving a special talk on Thursday about the storm that destroyed the Ivers restaurant at Mukilteo Landing a decade ago. You'll find a link to more information about that at our website, kplu.org. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe, KPLU News.